Father, thank you for anointing for me to preach your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Here we go. I'm ready. Part 18. Ephesians 1:18. This is taken from the New American Standard Bible. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. One more time. This is from New American Standard Bible, Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now I'm going to have you look at the word riches there. Riches. The Greek word there is plutos. That's the Greek word. You know what it means? Plutos. Abundance of external possessions, literally money. Yes, we can spiritualize this. Figuratively speaking, yes, there's another definition for plutos. Figuratively, it simply means abundance. So I can say the riches, or I can say the abundance. That's figuratively. But look at the other definition here. It's the abundance of external possessions, literally money. Now, I believe there is order as far as having the spiritual truth first, to know that God wants you to have the abundance of the love and the joy and the peace, but it will eventually manifest itself in the form where you also gonna have the abundance of external possessions, literally money. So I can put it this way. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the abundance of external possessions, literally money, that comes out of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, the focus here is on the fact that our heart needs to be enlightened.
Yes.
Okay, this is not focusing on the money, okay?
Wow.
But I'm just letting you know that it involves money, so we cannot spiritualize that part. Mm-hmm. But it says here, it begins with your heart being enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In other words, we want to prioritize the abundance of the spiritual wealth and the spiritual riches first before the external things.
Amen.
If you make the inside of the cup clean, then the outside will also be taken care of. Do you understand? Many people, their priority is all messed up. Their focus is on the external things. They're focusing on the money, although it does involve money, but God wants us to be clean on the inside, and then on the outside, it will automatically be taken care of as well. And it begins, it says, by your heart being enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. Now, I'm going to read you the same verse from the Message Bible, Ephesians 1:18. This is beautiful. Your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for Christians. Let me read it one more time. This is from the Message Bible. Again, our focus is on the spiritual first.
Yes.
The figurative abundance of his love and joy and peace, the gift of righteousness, the abundance of grace. This has to be our top priority. And so I start with the Message Bible here to focus you not on the external things, literally money, although it does involve that. We cannot spiritualize that. But here is the first part from the Message Bible to bring out the figurative abundance of the word plutos, riches. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life for Christians. Amen? So God wants you to be able to grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life He has for Christians. And then the money will be taken care of by itself. You know, the money will be taken care of by itself when you can grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life He has for Christians. And you need to have your eyes focused and clear. It says, your eyes focused and clear. You cannot be distracted. Your eyes need to be focused. That is what it means that your heart be enlightened. It means your heart needs to be focused and clear. Do you understand? I'm taking this directly from the Message Bible here. What does it mean for your heart to be enlightened? That means your eyes focused and clear. You cannot be distracted by the worries of this life. You cannot be having your eyes blurred and not cleared because of the so many responsibilities that you need to take care of. That is what it means your heart to be enlightened. That means your eyes focus and clear so that you can see exactly what it is He's calling you to do. What is it that God has called you to do? What is the hope of His calling in your life? You need to go back in your quiet time and ask the Lord, Lord, I want to see exactly what it is You are calling me to do. I want to know the hope of Your calling in my life. I have a purpose in life. Why am I here on earth? I'm not here just existing like the mist, like the grass. The flesh is like the grass in the field that's here today and gone tomorrow. I am a child of God. And I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. Now, Lord, I want You to help me so that my eyes are focused and clear, that I can see exactly what it is that You are calling me to do. And this is a prayer. This is a prayer, not a one-time prayer. You got to keep on asking, Lord, help me to see exactly what it is that You are calling me to do. I'm not here to play cards all day long. You know, I'm not here just to browse on the internet looking at the latest news online every day. What is it, Lord, exactly that You're calling me to do? That is for You to find out personally in your quiet time with the Lord throughout this week. Okay? Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is He's calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life He has for Christians. And beloved of God, once you have this as your regular prayer, you don't worry about money anymore. Because that plutos, the word plutos, it includes the abundance of the external possessions, literally money. We don't focus on money anymore. We don't worry about them because that's only part of the package.
That's right.
But our part is to keep on asking the Lord, Lord, help me so that my eyes remain focused and clear so that I can see exactly what it is that You are calling me to do so that I can grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life You have for me as a believer. Amen. Chew on that. That is a prayer that Apostle Paul keep on asking again and again, that Christians would not be living their life, you know, in an empty way of living. They live their life like a groundhog day, you know, get up 6 o'clock in the morning, get your coffee, you know, whatever the routine that we're doing. Sometimes we can be stuck in that routine for so long that we're missing out on the purpose of what God has called us to do. Because we are so stuck in the rut, you know, we are so used to the lifestyle, to the comfort zone, to the familiar, the things that we're so familiar that we're missing out on knowing the hope of His calling in our lives. And then that's where unfulfillment sets in. That's when people don't understand, I have all the money, I have all the fame, how come I'm still empty inside? Because you're not doing what you're called to do. you're not fulfilling the hope of His calling in your life, and you are just doing your own thing. And God is wanting us here to have the eyes of our heart enlightened. Our eyes are focused and clear. There is no double vision. One quick way to destroy a person's vision is to give him two vision.
That's good.
You are no longer focused because now you have two visions now.
And you're distracted.
You are distracted. But God says, keep on praying to me and I'll help you so that your heart will be enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling in your life. Mm-hmm. Right? And you can also know the glorious riches of your inheritance in the saints.
Amen.
Because God wants to prosper you.
Yes.
Even financially, God wants to prosper you.
Amen.
I don't want you to feel like, I'm already advanced in years or things like that. No, you're just starting your life. You're just starting your life. This is another thing that I hope people hear the spirit of what I'm saying. You can retire. There's no sin for retiring, for getting into retirement, but never stop fulfilling the calling that God has in your life. So you might be enjoying your retirement. That's fine. There's no condemnation for you to enjoy retirement. But make sure that you are no longer fulfilling the calling that God has in your life. In other words, you need to continue to be active in your mind, even if you are already retired. Don't get into that retirement mode, but continue to get into the mode where, Lord, I'm going to keep on pursuing. I might be in a different stage in my life right now, but I want to keep on fulfilling the calling that you have in my life. We don't retire, we refire. That means you want to keep on be sensitive to what God calls you to do at this stage. And there is no insignificant calling in a believer's life. Your calling is just as significant as the calling of, for example, Prophet Elijah. He was called for such a time as this, right? For the nation of Israel at that time. And your calling is not inferior to even the great prophet like Prophet Elijah. You might be a housewife, you know, cleaning up diapers, babies' diapers, or you're teaching your kids to know the ways of the Lord. Your calling is just as great as those so-called people in the public ministry. So you got to find out specifically where your niche is that God has already called you to do. And do not despise the days of small beginnings. The small things that you do for the Lord, God will not forget. Even a small cup of water that you give to someone just because he or she is a believer, you shall by no means lose your reward. God knows and God remembers everything. And God wants you to be focused, your eyes focused and clear. And that you would know exactly what He is calling you to do. And so this is your privilege to spend time with the Lord in your quiet time in the morning. Lord, enlighten the eyes of my heart. I want to fulfill the calling that you have in my life. I don't want to be stuck in a rut, keep on doing the same old thing. And that may not be what you want me to do. Lord, I'm open to new things. I'm open to new adventure. And Lord, I want you to take me into the next level. It's an adventure. Don't look at your calling like you are a robot. You know, God wants you to accomplish this. And then once you have accomplished your purpose, then you no longer have the fulfillment in life. Although it is okay to believe that we are supposed to have a purpose-driven life. But sometimes when the purpose is the end of itself, rather than a dynamic relationship with the Lord that flows like rivers, then it can become like a robot thing. I've already fulfilled my purpose, and then what's my next purpose? It's as if, you know, our job here on earth is to be a slave, to do the next assignment, the next assignment, the next assignment. No, it's a dynamic adventure. I see it as a dynamic adventure that is exciting, like a father with his daughter, or like the father with his son, and say, hey, Daddy, I'm looking forward to what we're going to do today together. It might be new, it might be different than what we used to do, but Father, enlighten the eyes of my heart so that I know the hope of your calling in my life, that I can fulfill the calling that you have in my life. It's an exciting adventure every day when we have the eyes of our heart enlightened by the help of the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. This is from the New English Translation Bible. Okay, this is deep stuff. So if you don't get it the first time, don't feel condemned because it's deep. My goal is that their hearts, having been knit together in love, may be encouraged, and that they may have all the riches that assurance brings in their understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay? Now, look at the word riches there. It says, that they may have all the riches that assurance brings in their understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God. That word riches there is the same word, the word plutos. Okay? And so here, it is very clear that the riches that we are pursuing, if you will, is not the external possessions, money, literally riches, but what we are to pursue, if you will, is that we may have all the riches that assurance brings in their understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, namely Christ. In other words, what we want to be rich in is in the understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, namely Christ. That is what we want to have the abundance of, the knowledge of the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wow. The knowledge of the mystery of God. That is the riches that God wants us to have the abundance of. The understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, namely Christ. We want to know Him more. We talked about the knowledge of God last week. Remember, we talked about how God wants us to have the epignosis, the precise and correct knowledge of God. And here, Colossians 2, verse 2 to 3 here is saying, well, I want you to have the abundance of it. I want you to be rich, okay, in the understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, namely Christ. The measure of your wealth in the eyes of God is not how much money you have in your bank account. That is not the measure of how rich you are in the eyes of God. The measure of how rich you are in the eyes of God is how rich you are in the understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, namely Christ. In other words, your knowledge of who Christ is, the richer you are in the understanding of this mystery of God, namely Christ, that's how rich you are in the eyes of God. And yes, it will translate later on, because in Christ, right, are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You have witty inventions, you have ideas. If you are an entrepreneur, you have ideas that nobody has thought of. That is the treasure of wisdom and knowledge, but that is the byproduct of having the riches of the understanding of the mystery of God, namely Christ. Amen. And the knowledge of God here is so amazing that I'm going to have to read to you the same exact sets of verses from the Message Bible. I want you woven into a tapestry of love. Do you like that? Mm-hmm. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you'll have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery. and nowhere else. And we've been shown the mystery. Do you like that? There's a depth to it, right? Okay, you know, from the New English Translation Bible, it's more kind of like really literal, word for word Greek. But here's the spirit of that word. The Message Bible brings it beautifully. Mm-hmm. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. Mm-hmm. And we've been shown the mystery. In other words, to know Christ, to know Jesus, is like heaven on earth. We have been given this privilege every day to have a deeper longing to know Christ more and more intimately. It says to know everything there is to know of God. Mm-hmm. To know Christ intimately. And then you will have minds confident and at rest. Do you want to have a mind that is confident and at rest? It says focused on Christ. Mm-hmm. That's how your mind can be full of confidence and full of rest, is when your mind is focused on Christ, God's great mystery. As long as your knowledge of Christ as your righteousness is stagnant in its growth, then everything else will be stagnant. Because the first thing that Jesus said is to seek first His kingdom and Christ's righteousness. And now He's saying, I want you to grow in the knowledge of this great mystery, namely Christ. Well, guess what? The first area that we need to grow, you know, is the knowledge of Christ as our righteousness, or Jesus as our righteousness more and more. That you are, in the eyes of God, without spot, without wrinkles, without blemishes, or any other such things, because of what Christ has done at the cross. Church, you are so holy, so righteous, apart from the law, the Bible says. But it's through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that your prayers availeth much. Because the prayers of the righteous availeth much, the Bible says. You know, you have influence with God. That is so amazing, because you have the blessing of Abraham, because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And God wants you to grow in this knowledge of Christ. Because again, the first thing we are to pursue is righteousness. And then you have faith, and then you have love, and then you have the shalom, peace. And so grow in this knowledge of the mystery of Christ that God is saying. Okay? Now I'm going to close with this verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6 from the New American Standard Bible. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Notice, okay, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Christ. Now remember, in the old covenant, they were not able to see the face of Christ. They were only able to see the back of Christ. Because God put Moses on the cleft of the rock, and He said, I'm going to let my glory pass by you, and then I'm going to cover you with my hand, because you shall not see my face, lest you die. Remember? Mm-hmm. So what was Moses able to see? The back part of Christ. Well, beloved of God, in the new covenant today, because of the blood of Jesus, we can see His face and not die today. God wants you to have a face to face intimate moments with Him apart from the law. Because the law has been fulfilled by what Christ has done. There is no more barrier between you and God. There is no middle wall of separation between you and God, like in the old covenant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
The knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Christ today. Remember, whenever Moses went into the Holy of Holies, in that place where the blood has been sprinkled on the altar, he took off the veil on his face so that he can have a face-to-face encounter with God, talking with God as with a friend.
Wow.
But whenever he goes out to the world, he has to put on the veil. And the veil is talking about the law, right? So you cannot have an intimate relationship with God as long as you still have the veil of the law that separates you from God. As long as you still have condemnation in your life, you still have that veil. You don't have the knowledge of God in the face of Christ because the veil separates you from that face. As long as you still have a sense of condemnation that you are not well pleasing to God because of something wrong that you have done. You know, living under law is a catch-22.
Yes, it does.
The good that you do is never enough, and the bad that you do is always amplified. That is what the law does.
Yes.
It always brings your shortcomings, and life is full of condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So God is saying here, the light of the knowledge of God is in the face of Christ. That means God wants you to see Him face to face with no veil of law. Meaning that you are to reject all forms of condemnation in your life. You cannot live with condemnation in your life. You cannot accept condemnation in your heart, however small, right? That yeast is, that small yeast is going to puff itself up and it's going to blind your eyes so that you cannot see the glory of the knowledge of God in the face of Christ, because the law will always veil your eyes. And I've already shown you, beloved of God, here, God wants your eyes to be enlightened so that you can know the hope of His calling in your life, so that you know exactly what He's calling you to do, and that you may know the glorious riches of His inheritance in the saints. We don't worry about the external money anymore, because that's just a secondary thing. The main thing is the abundance of the knowledge of the mystery of God that is found in Christ and Christ alone. There is nowhere else to be found except in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why I endeavor to preach more on Jesus Christ. You want the true wisdom? You want the true knowledge? It's all found in the face of Christ. He's talking about intimacy.
Yes.
When you're talking to someone face to face, it's talking about intimacy. You don't see his back anymore, like in the old covenant law. You come before God in the Holy of Holies, in that place where the blood has been sprinkled, the ark has been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. That is the place where you have the righteous foundation to see God face to face and not die, because Jesus already died for you.
That's right.
So you don't have to die anymore today, even when you fail, even when you sin, because someone already took your death. And God is saying, come to me, right? And have the knowledge of God in my face with no veil of law.
Amen.
So you are the righteousness of God in Christ.
Amen.
No matter how many times you fail, as long as you don't give up, you continue to run to God instead of running away from God. You continue to pursue righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You continue to pursue faith. You continue to pursue love. You continue to pursue shalom. Right? You can call on Him out of your pure heart, and God will reveal Himself to those who diligently seek Him. We are living in an exciting time where today, in the convenience of our home, we can grow more and more in the knowledge of God. Use your spare time wisely. God says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Walk not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. In other words, God wants you to use, even during this time where people have to be confined in their homes, make the most use of that time to grow in the intimate knowledge of Him in the face of Christ. Don't waste your time on things that don't satisfy, but spend time throughout this week and beyond to have
the desire to know God in the face of Christ, you spend your time wisely. You spend your time in His Word. You spend your time in worship. You spend your time in giving praise and thankfulness more and more, giving thanks to Him more. Oh Father, I'm so thankful for Your grace in my life. Without Your grace, I would not be even breathing today. The fact that I'm still alive today and well, I can come to church. I can have all my needs met. Yes. Is because of Your grace in my life. Amen. Just thank Him and have that intimate knowledge of Him in the face of Christ.
Yes.
And then your eyes will be enlightened more and more. Mm-hmm. And then you will know exactly what you're supposed to do. The doing will come later. The knowing comes first.
Yes.
It's out of the intimacy that the baby is born. Right? It's not the other way around. Well, you gotta have a baby. You gotta have a baby. Well, you gotta have a moment of intimacy first before you can have the baby.
Yeah.
That's the same way with the ways of God.
Mm-hmm.
God wants you to know Him intimately, that there is now no more condemnation in your life. Whether sins in your past, or sins in the present, or sins in the future, Jesus had already taken all of your sins at the cross so that there's no more veil now. There's no more middle wall of separation between you and Christ. And God says, I want you to know Me intimately in My face. I no longer give you My back, I give you My face, so that you will know not only everything's going to be okay, you will also know the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. In other words, you will also financially be more prosperous. Have the horse before the cart, not the cart before the horse. The provision will come. The healing will manifest. But the main thing is God says, I want you to be enlightened, that the eyes of your heart to be enlightened. Let it be your daily prayer. Lord, enlighten the eyes of my heart so that I may know the hope of Your calling in my life and the glorious wealth of my inheritance in the saints. Amen, beloved of God. He's such a good God. He's such a loving God that I believe as you meditate on this word, He will give you a deeper and deeper knowledge of Him.